Most stories do not start with a journalist. They start with people noticing when a river runs dry, asking why a school is changing, discovering something new next door. Curiosity is human. Your right to keep asking questions is at the heart of NPR's mission, and we are not going anywhere.
I picked up two pairs of these like little kitten heels and a bag, a leather bag.
Cambria Martinez is in her 20s. She and her friends love thrift stores. But she was about to find out that Next Step Treasures in Hillcrest was different.
And bringing it to the front desk, Rose, the shopkeeper, she goes, "Oh my gosh, those were all from the same person." That's when I just like the hair stood up on my neck.
Here, every item comes with a story, and all of Cambria's thrift finds formerly belonged to a woman named Dr. Moreno.
And so she started telling me about the items, and she goes, "Wow, so she was a pediatrician, and she was very prim and pragmatic and proper, and she only bought her shoes in Italy, so these shoes were from a special Italian shoemaker in Italy." It was just kind of fun to get a little glimpse into this lady's life, because when do you ever know where your thrift store stuff is coming from? And it, all three were from the same person. It was a little spooky.
Dr. Moreno is gone now, but some of her things are surviving into a new generation. And the woman who knows almost all the stories contained in the objects in the shop is owner Rose Rugama.
And we get a lot of questions, and a lot of people ask, you know, where did this come from? And we learn a lot about someone by cleaning out their house.
Rose's main business is called Next Step for Downsized Living. She helps seniors sell their existing home and find something better suited to their needs. But she also helps sort through what they need to get rid of. And then, in the shop, sells all the stuff they no longer have room for, from furniture and glassware to trinkets and gowns. But Rose does a lot more than that. It's actually pretty hard to sum up her work. From the many anecdotes we heard, there seems to be almost nothing she won't do to help people out. For example, there's Dr. Rob.
He was a Vietnam vet. He was alone. He was scammed by a caregiver. So a caregiver had him sign a document putting the caregiver as his heir.
Rob had a modest house in South Park, and he wanted it to go to his siblings, not the caregiver. But he was running out of time.
Looking at him, he was wearing his Ferrari hat, and he just looked super cool and young, but he was in a lot of pain.
Rob was terminally ill in hospice care.
And so my wheels got spinning, and I contacted an attorney. They wrote up a trust for him, and I went to meet him, and I said, "Do you know what I'm doing here?" And he goes, "Yes, you're going to save my estate and give it to my sisters." And so he signed his new trust. I tapped his leg and I said, "Okay, you know, it was nice to meet you. I'm going to take care of your estate." And he just kind of nodded. And after I left, he laid down and he never got back up. He passed. We had fun going through his house. He had some beautiful things. Part of the bookcases are his, and we'll never sell those.
Now, Rob's photography books and even his photo collection are at the store, ready to be discovered and loved again. And all over the country, there are thousands of Robs, older people struggling to manage their living situation, paperwork, or technology, to say nothing of rampant scams. And many are doing this alone. But Rose does what she can for as many people as possible.
I work 7 days a week. I mean, you know, whenever the client is available, I'm available.
The United States is getting older. 1 in 6 Americans now are over 65 years old. That population grew by 40% between the 2010 and 2020 census, and it's only going to keep growing. All of us are hopefully heading toward old age. But in the U.S., our attitude toward older people and aging in general is very negative, much more so than other countries. Rose's work is fighting this by transforming vintage finds into stories. Everything on the shelf at Next Step Treasures comes back to real people, real lives with real stories.
There's often tears when we have to clean out, you know, somebody's home, and we see the little notes that grandma left in a book or in, usually like in purses. And
really?
Yeah, we find little, well, we always find tissue in purses. There's always tissue in purses, but we'll find notes. Yeah. You know, it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful to bring that item up and to be able to give it new love.
From KPBS Public Media, this is The Finest, a podcast about the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego. I'm Julia Dixon Evans.
Most stories do not start with a journalist. They start with people noticing when a river runs dry, asking why a school is changing, discovering something new next door. Curiosity is human. Your right to keep asking questions is at the heart of NPR's mission, and we are not going anywhere.
Next Step Treasures is on Park Avenue, just on the edge of Hillcrest. It's a walkable but fairly quiet block with no shortage of sidewalk cafes and storefronts. Producer Anthony and I arrive on a Friday morning, a little before Rose opens to the public.
Okay, we're recording right now.
Okay, I'll try not to curse.
It's fine, we can edit
I'll
it
try
out.
To
we can edit.
So yeah, welcome to the treasure store. You could sit anywhere.
Okay, or later.
The place looks more like a living room than a store, with a few velvet couches right in the middle.
It's in good shape, too.
Everything in here has come from downsizings. Everything has a tag, and when it first comes to the store, it's mm-hmm. on consignment with that family.
Okay.
So every mm-hmm. family has a color.
The store is always changing, always a reflection of the people Rose has recently worked with. Anthony and I got lost browsing through it all. We found books, paintings, vases and trinkets, shoes, clothes, even vintage magazines. And in the back corner, a massive crafting area.
What is this?
It's a puncher.
Craft.
James Anthony.
Sorry.
Some of these stamps are pretty incredible.
I like the football helmet.
All these crafting supplies were Becky's, who recently passed away. Rose's daughter, Mia, who works at the shop, was happy to tell us all about Becky.
I call her the craft queen because she even, when we walked in there, she was like in the middle of some of her projects. She had all her stamps and like different themes and different boxes, and she had all her craft paper and all her little beading and acrylic paints.
Becky's crafting supplies have been in hot demand. People have been coming in specifically for the bounty since they made an Instagram reel about it. There's even a little section in the shop with Becky's finished works, little cards and scrapbook pages she's made over a lifetime of crafting. All this stuff could have pretty easily been thrown out, shrugged off as grandma's old craft supplies. But here, it's a treasure.
And I think that's what elders really like, is that their stuff's not going to go mm-hmm. unnoticed. Their stuff is going to stay relevant in somebody's life.
Rose used to be a real estate agent before the housing crisis in 2008 wiped out her business. So she went to work as a nail and massage therapist at a spa in North County.
I was starting to hear people talking about the need that, oh, my mother, she now needs to move closer to me because dad died and I have to be the one to take care of her. So I'm like, I'll help you find a spot.
So you're having conversations.
Yes, having conversations with people. Yes, people get deep when you're holding their hand, when you're touching them. You know, you touch them and then they want to tell you all of their secrets and all of their problems.
One client told Rose about her father-in-law, Charlie.
Charlie was a law professor. Mm-hmm. We have labor union books in here that he wrote. So there was no arguing with Charlie. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget this day. It was a day where I met Charlie at the door of his Carmel Valley house, and he was coming to pick what he was going to take to his new apartment. Then he starts pointing at things with the cane and hitting things like, I'll take that, I'll take that.
Charlie picked a couple of things, but at the end of the day, Rose and Charlie's daughter-in-law were still standing in a house full of stuff.
I go, is anybody going to come through the house and, you know, grandkids? She goes, nobody wants anything, Rose. And I stood there and I'm like, this is a 3,000 square foot house filled with things. And nobody wanted it.
That was the moment Rose knew downsizing could be a business. Help older people sell their big house and all the stuff they can't fit in their new one. But Rose seems much more focused on helping people and building relationships with her clients than she is with making money. Charlie became special to her. She downsized him more than once, and they became friends.
He just passed away at 102. But when he, right before he passed away, he gave me his books, and he commented that they were very special. I love those encyclopedias, and it's going to take a lot for them to go bye-bye.
Rose now has plenty of clients, but the business model is not straightforward. The work she does is not really scalable at all.
No two downsizing has ever been the same. They're all different. They all have their different challenges.
The simple part is the real estate, selling the client's home. And in many cases, she can make enough commission on that to sustain the business. But her work often goes far beyond that. Each client presents a new puzzle.
I was running out of money.
Lenny is in his 70s. He worked with Rose when his mother was in her 90s. She had dementia and required intensive care. Lenny knew he could borrow money against his mom's house to pay for her care, but he didn't know how. That's when a bank teller told him about Rose.
I got in touch with Rose, and she said, no problem, I can take care of it. I said, okay, it's in your hands.
Rose walked him through setting up a reverse mortgage and was able to keep his mom in her home with the care she needed. And when his mom died, she helped him sell her house to pay it back.
I wouldn't have been able to do this without her. I wouldn't have been able to do it. She answered all my questions all the time. If she didn't know the answer, she found out. She's just a wonderful person. I've known Rose now for almost 3 years.
Incredibly, Rose doesn't charge for any of this consulting.
It's a conversation. I call it a conversation. Who charges for a conversation?
Some people.
Some people do, yeah.
Not us.
Lenny feels lucky to have found Rose in his moment of need. He had a large asset, the house, but just needed help figuring out how to navigate a complex system so he could use it properly. There are lots of older people in similar situations, and unfortunately, instead of finding someone like Rose, many find themselves taken advantage of. That's what happened to another client, Larry.
He had been scammed by some those companies that like buy your homes, you know, cash free.
Larry and his partner lived in a mobile home park. They owned the home, but paid rent to the park for the land. When his partner of 38 years died, the payments got tough for Larry to cover by himself. So when an agent swooped in and offered to buy the home from him, he was relieved.
And they had told him, yeah, we'll buy it, stop paying your rent. A few months later, you know, he had reached out to my mom and she had asked, did you ever sign anything? And he goes, no, they were supposed to get back to me. And so they just kind of ghosted him.
Larry fell behind on his payments and soon faced eviction. Not long after, he got a terminal cancer diagnosis. Mia and Rose set up a GoFundMe to try to keep him at home in his final months.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Rose.
Rose made a video with Larry for the fundraiser.
Let's talk money. You only make how much your Social Security award?
A little bit over $1,200.
And how much is your rent here?
$1,700 a month. Doesn't leave me very much as far as eating. And you came into my life and you are directing me in the right direction, which I'm very, very grateful. And hopefully I can get this nightmare out of my system.
Rose got Larry set up with EBT food assistance, and ultimately she helped him move into hospice. In the shop, Larry's items were some of our favorites.
The goddesses and the frog and the peacock. This is Larry's.
It's a frog vase.
Yeah, I do love the frog vase.
Yeah.
And Larry also, all this Mickey Mouse stuff is Larry's because his partner of like 30 years, his name was Mickey.
Oh.
So he wanted me to take all the Mickey stuff.
Older adults who have equity in their homes but are struggling to pay the bills are a prime target for scams. The FBI reported that scammers stole $3.4 billion from Americans over 60 in 2023, almost certainly an undercount, and it's getting worse year by year. There are also plenty of questionable practices that fall short of criminal, like Larry's situation with his mobile home. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau recently accused the largest reverse mortgage lender in the country of deceptive marketing with inflated home value estimates. Rose's employee, Bree, told us about how an aggressive salesman sold her grandparents an expensive home security system they didn't need and never figured out how to use. Of course, not everyone is trying to rip older people off. But American culture as a whole has, at best, an uncomfortable relationship with aging and a lack of respect for the elderly. Rose sees what we miss out on when we ignore older people.
They're smart. They're wise. They are real. You'll never get something fake out of an elder. You will hear the truth. And they should be respected and honored and I'm hoping that if anything we bring to the younger generation, talk to your grandparents, say hello to the senior at the coffee shop. You know, how are you? They're so wise and so kind, most of them. But but I'm Hispanic, I'm Mexican, and I saw here in the United States the seniors weren't as respected as they should be. That stuck with me since I was a young girl, that how the elders in another country were honored and how we should bring that here to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that I wanted to bring that somehow, and it's happening because that's where my heart is.
With her small team of her daughter, Mia, and family friend, Bree, Rose doesn't just do this work out of a sense of injustice or a feeling that our culture doesn't treat older people how they should. She does it to honor someone who never got to age.
I lost my mom when I was very young, so be able to interact and engage and help someone that maybe is my mom's age now is, you know, I think about that all the time. And I love working with my daughter. I mean, I think that is, it's such a blessing to me to be able to spend every day with her.
Right now, Rose works every day, and it isn't always easy to make the business work financially. They put a lot of the income they make from selling homes back into helping people like Larry, who can't afford to pay much or anything at all. Rose is in the process now of becoming a nonprofit organization. It can be exhausting and sad, but they know they're doing something meaningful. Mia left a job as a paralegal to help her mom full-time. That's how much she believes in the mission. Bree feels the same way.
And I think what fuels it is like, it like kind of
feels good.
It feels good. Like the work is purposeful mm-hmm. and it has meaning, and you know you're making a difference in not only someone else's life, but also just the overall community as well.
Coming up, we speak to an anthropologist from Japan. When she moved to the U.S., she experienced such intense culture shock by how elders were treated here that she spent the rest of her life studying it. And Anthony and I go treasure hunting. Stay with us.
Watch programs on your schedule with the KPBS Plus streaming service. See new episodes of Nature and Nova, latest news from PBS NewsHour and KPBS Evening Edition, local shows like Ken Kramer's About San Diego. Learn more at kpbs.org/kpbsplus.
I'm Yoko Tsuji, and I'm a cultural anthropologist, and my current title is Adjunct Professor of Anthropology at Cornell University.
Yoko Tsuji moved to the U.S. to San Diego in the 1970s as a student.
There's a totally unexpected culture shock. Mm-hmm. That was when, you know, first of all the people disappeared. I didn't see them.
Where she grew up in Japan, older people were a part of everyday life, visible, walking on the street, shopping in the grocery store, and at home. Many lived with their children into old age, just like Yoko's grandma. But before she moved, she already had an elderly American friend, a pen pal.
He's a quite elderly man living in Muncie, Indiana. He wanted to come to San Diego to visit me and also to see San Diego because he was stationed there when he was a Navy.
Yoko's roommates helped drive her and her pen pal around town, and she said they were nice to him to his face.
But after he left, they said he'd be happier dead. And then he outlived his usefulness. Mm-hmm. So that was a big shock to me, because in Japan, all the people were respected.
So Yoko studied aging in America. She followed older people over the course of 3 decades. Throughout her research, she watched older people struggle to find independence, move into senior communities if they could afford it, and search for community toward the end of their lives, all the while fighting a culture that prefers not to think about them at all.
I would say Americans fear, loathe, and deny aging.
Fear, loathe, and deny aging. And she says there are 2 main explanations for this. First, it runs against America's cultural ideal.
To be young, beautiful, healthy, and then have a lot of future in front of you. And when you get older, you lose all of it.
The second reason, Americans just don't spend enough time with older people.
I think Americans are ignorant about old age. Because I grew up with older people, not only in the family, but, you know, in the neighborhood, right?
Right.
And so I said, you know, aging is not always easy, even in Japan, too. But then, you know, we grew up seeing both positive and negative side of aging. But the Americans, kids, they don't know.
As the U.S. gets older, researchers are trying to understand aging, and they're looking at the positive sides of it that Yoko says our culture ignores. American society reveres youth, vitality, and productivity with this myth that your 20s are the best time of your life. But recent research out of Stanford says that's dead wrong, that the 20s are in fact the worst time in an adult's life. Studies show that negative emotions like anxiety and loneliness are at their peak when people are young and drop off in a big way as they approach their 40s and beyond. By their 60s and 70s, people are typically happiest. They get better at regulating negative emotions and focusing on the positives. But that, of course, is hard to do if you're a victim to a scam or suffering financially or feel invisible when you need help. Our culture's focus on the downsides of aging feeds ageism, a form of prejudice that still seems to run rampant. A University of Michigan study found that 82% of older adults report regularly experiencing some form of ageism in their daily lives. From jokes or comments about older people being unattractive, to people assuming they can't operate a smartphone or hear well. They're little things, but over time add up to this idea that being old sucks. And older people sometimes internalize that. Yoko's given a lot of thought to where Americans' disdain for aging comes from. She says that in the U.S., we prioritize independence, but Japanese culture values mutual dependency above all else.
So it's quite opposite. And that's why Americans are so negative toward old age, because it's the antithesis of the most important cultural value, independence. But then the mature adult, maybe middle-aged men, you know, find it hard to accept their aging. And, you know, it's hard to ask for help, even, you know, among those people I studied, you know, so many years ago.
It is hard to ask for help. And that's where Rose comes in.
This is a cool little box.
Oh, it's a music box.
Oh, wow.
No, other way. Back at the store, hunting for vintage finds feels different after we learned about the people who once owned them. Dr. Rob, the Vietnam vet who died just after Rose helped save his estate, was a photographer.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, camera bag.
He had a brand new...
Wow, we could use that.
Anthony, like Arizona State basketball game.
Oh, that's from Arizona State.
Wow. A photo of an ASU. Mm-hmm. I went to ASU.
December 1981.
What?
So those were Dr. Rob's photos. He had like four or five photo albums.
He has photos from the San Diego Zoo, in hotel rooms. There's even wedding photo albums that guests wrote messages in. Small pieces of people's lives.
People like to feel connected to what they're purchasing. Like they love the story behind it.
It reminds us on a deeper level that its previous owner was a person with a rich life, with real emotions, not just someone who has outlived their usefulness to society.
And I realized that there was so much more depth to all of those little things that I was looking at.
That's Cambria again, who stumbled into Rose's shop while thrifting one day.
Right? It wasn't just, you know, this cool vintage chair, right? It was somebody sat there and somebody maybe wrote a book there, and it progressed to kind of this beautiful understanding of, hey, like, this is, I'm in this moment, they were in that moment, and like, we kind of all are connected in this way.
And her experience picking out Dr. Moreno's old kitten heels and bag made such a big impression on her that she wrote about it in her Substack.
It's just been a topic that I've thought a lot about recently, because they're one of the largest growing segments of our economy, and products right now are anti-aging products. And I don't think we're pushing it off, but a little bit of just kind of frustration and our lack of respect, and thinking about those silent struggles that nobody's kind of talking about or bringing to light, kind of like Rose's. It was kind of eye-opening and upsetting.
These thrift store finds aren't just a shoe or a painting or a book. They're a link to another life from another time. We now have two of Dr. Rob's old photos at our desks at KPBS, and Cambria has Dr. Moreno's kitten heels.
I remember the first time I wore the red heels. I was going to a Lakers game, and I was wearing an I Love LeBron shirt. And I put the shoes on, and I thought to myself, I wonder if she's ever been to a Lakers game. Or, like, imagine if she was, like, a Celtics fan, right? And I'm suddenly her ghost is going to come haunt me. But it was kind of fun thinking about how these, like, items that don't seem important at all have so many stories. Like, my story that day was the Lakers game. Her story could have been a walk in the park with her husband or her grandkids, you know?
Special thanks to Rose, Mia, and Bree at Next Step Treasures, Lenny Brzezinski, Cambria Martinez, and Yoko Tsuji. And thank you so much for listening. If this episode resonated with you, please subscribe, leave a rating, or comment. It makes a real difference and helps stories like these reach more people. The Finest is a production of KPBS Public Media in San Diego. I'm your host, Julia Dixon Evans. Our producer is Anthony Wallace, who also composed the score. Ben Redlosk is our engineer, and Chrissy Nguyen is our editor. This episode was written and researched by Anthony and me.
Watch programs on your schedule with the KPBS Plus streaming service. See new episodes of Nature and Nova, latest news from PBS NewsHour and KPBS Evening Edition, local shows like Ken Kramer's About San Diego. Learn more at kpbs.org/kpbsplus.